Says Rav Makan Tamar Dvar as follows. Let's try to do some job with this. We're talking in we're in Perek Dalet here in the Tamar Dvorah, and the Rav Makan is going to share what I think is a really, really fascinating idea. I want to read a little bit. It's going to require a little bit of almost just like saying pshat in what he means. Elements of it get a little bit Kabbalistic at times. We'll try to avoid that or at least glance over it. But he writes as follows. Shelo Tomar Shatshuva Tove L'Chelek HaKedusha Sheba Adam. Don't say that tshuva is good for the good part of man. Ella gam lechilek harashebo mismatik kein hamida hazos. Tshuva can even sweeten the challenging or difficult part which are found within a person. What does that mean? So every person is created with good urges and bad urges. We call those yetzer tov and yetzer hara. Every person is created with parts of them that are encouraged to do good and parts that are encouraged to do bad. It's very easy to identify those and to say one of those is good, and the only way that we win is with the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara is fundamentally terrible. But the Ramak here is adding, I think, a fascinating component. And they put in some of the footnotes here the following idea. Rav Dessler writes in Mikhtav Meliyahu and Chelek Hay in page 487 the following idea. Everything on some level is created or is rooted in the world of good. Everything that we have is sourced on some level with a degree of tov. So what is the Yetzer Hara? So the Yetzer Hara suggests, Rav Dessler, how is that rooted in something which is good? Is that through the Yetzer Hara and through the capacity to overcome a particular struggle, to overcome a particular urge, that when you do so, you are Megala Kvod Shamayim, you're doing something which is all the greater as a result. Lefum Tzara Agra, a person's able to walk out with a greater sense of reward. That the ideal is that a person who overcomes that, the presence of a Yetzer Hara, that's something which affords me the capacity, if I overcome that particular urge, where I become all the greater. And I'm not just great in the Chelek HaTov Sheba Adam, I'm great in the Chelek HaRash Sheba Adam. Chaim Volozhner in the Ruach Haim in Avos, in Perek Aleph, writes as follows, Yaduah Shekosh Baruch Hu Mechayes Kulam, the God creates everything. Vafilu koach yetzer hara lo hayelokim klal af rega kala bilti yenika meha kedusha v'shor shel lemala. Even yetzer hara can only be in this world because it's sourced in something that is good, and that's why God chooses to sustain the yetzer hara. There's something kadosh about it. We have to figure out. So what exactly is that? It is the opponent, and that is an opponent which, if we conquer it, it allows us to receive even more schar. It allows us to be even greater. It allows us to emerge as in a significantly better place. In that sense, he looks at the koach hara. It's something which is really an opportunity for me to become greater, opportunity for me to get more schar, opportunity for me to be what exactly I want to be. In that sense, it reframes something. Chazal speak about at times the goodness of yetzer hara in ways that bother a variety of bali machshava. But in a certain sense, what the Ramak here is sort of trying to express, which is expressing, which Mita Meliyahu and others do as well, is the following is so. There are two ways to look at a struggle that I may have. Let's say I have a witty sense of humor and I enjoy making fun of people. Let's say that's so. So in that moment, I can be very frustrated by that part of myself, because it's part of me that I can hurt someone with that, and I have a temptation or an urge to have a line that's going to make it be challenging for another person. That could easily happen. But what happens if I view that differently? This is my opponent in many ways. And if I can emerge victorious over this particular opponent, then I've taken that which is not so good within me, but I've been able to bring that over to a side of Kedusha. I'm greater and more elevated as a result of that. The mashal would be the way something we strongly speak about the idea of nisyonos, for Elohim nisa savram, that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives a test to Avraham Avinu, asar nisyonos, but we all have tests in different ways. So Rebbeinu Shalom asked the question, which is why Gosh Baruch has to give tests. We don't give tests if you know what degree is going to be. There's no reason for a teacher to give a test if they're bipashtas. I mean, there really is, but bipashtas, there would be no need to give a test. If I know the kid's going to get 100, so why give the test? I already know what the result is going to be. Elamai, there are benefits to a test that go above and beyond just knowing what the result would be. The experience makes you bigger. The experience makes you greater. The experience makes you deserving of more schar. And similarly, that's what's going on here. It's something, it's an opportunity, but the more that I'm able to tap into that, the more that I'm able to be, that I'm able to be in a good place. He then says a pshat in Parshas Bereishis, which I think is a fascinating insight. It's a fascinating insight. This does, for sure, relate to some Kabbalistic ideas. Bereishis, teda. I'll tell you where this idea comes from. Sha'arei Kayin rahaya. Kayin was rooted in a certain kind of bad. Uminachash haya. He's associated with the world of the nachash. V'ne'emar lo, we're told to him, halo imtetiv se'es. Al tachshov v'meisha ata mitzad hara she'ein lecha takana. Kayin shouldn't think that because he's rooted, he is predestined. There's certain really strong negativity within him. That's all he could ever do. And therefore, he can never emerge beyond that. That's sheker. Halloim teitiv etashvus atmecha besod hatshuva. If you know the world of tshuva, which means the world of being able to be aware of struggle and to nevertheless overcome it and sanctify that, if you're rooted in that, you would know what you could actually accomplish. So what is this? What does this mean? So they put in some of the footnotes here, which explains some of the background. In Shahar Gilgulim, Torah of the Arizal, do what you want with this. Not as familiar. But Kayin and Hevel are two brothers, two children of Adam HaRisha. Kayin and Hevel, as we know from the story in Sefer Bereishis, that they have a big fight. Kayin offers sacrifices. So does Hevel. Hevels are accepted. They are greater. Kayin is frustrated. Kayin kills Hevel. That's a basic story, I believe, in Sefer Bereishis there. Kayin and Hevel are two brothers. There's a lot of sort of analysis in terms of the difference between Kayin and Hevel. When I was in ninth grade in TBC, learning Sefer Bereishis with Rabbi Tzvi Grummet, who subsequently wrote a Sefer on Sefer Bereishis, so that's, brings back some memories. So I think he pointed out that Rabbi Tzvi Grummet, fantastic, he's great stuff. If you look at even like the naming of Kayin and Hevel, it seems like there are differences from the outset. The way he expressed it, if you look, it's actually very, very powerful. There's like, it seems to be what is like the main son, and then there's like the afterthought. Kayin's name, v'adam yadas chava ishto v'tahar v'teled es Kayin, v'tomer kanisi ishas Hashem. Kayin has a name. The name reflects this idea, as Rashi expresses, that we are partners with God in creating Kayin. You know, that's what he's all about. V'tosef l'aredes es achiv es Havel, and then Havel gets born. Why does he get his name? He just Hevel. Hevel, which means what in Hebrew? Nothingness. There's Kayin and there's Hevel. Kayin is the one which is like, it seems like, destined for something great. Hevel is the one which is like almost the afterthought. Kayin is the one who works as Oved Adama. Hevel is the one which is Roy Tzon. Kayin, okay, we have this distinction. If you go through it, so in that sense, there are those who suggest, and again, there's more in the Pesukim here, that Kayin's like the real guy. He's the one that we're looking up to. Kayin, Kayin, Hashem. And Hevel's like the afterthought. In Shara Gilgulim, actually, they have a bit of a different perspective on this. And this is more based on the end of the story, not the beginning. The end of the story, Kayin is the one who kills Hevel. That if there's good and bad rooted in every single person, so in Shara Gilgulim, by Torah Sa'ari, still, Kayin hu begvura nechaz bo hara yoser. Mehevel Shahaya Minachesed. That different people are rooted in different character traits. This is a real idea in the world of Kabbalah. I referenced this last week a little bit. There are, if Kluger develops this, so there's people that are rooted in Chachma, people that are rooted in Bina. The Chachma person is the big thinker. Chachma person is the person who has vision, but isn't as good in the details. The Bina person is the one that can implement all details, but doesn't have the larger vision. Companies need Kayin, need Chachma people and Bina people. Someone with larger vision, institutions need that, and someone that can actually sort of implement details. All those things become very, very important. Again, each in their own way. There are also people, as far as associations with particular sort of midas, there are chesed people and there are gvura people. A chesed person is a person who's rooted in a certain kind of goodness. That's almost like the person that's like naturally very, very nice and kind, doesn't seem like he struggles. Like a tzaddik type personality, but not one that was even as developed the same way. They're rooted in a certain kind of good. It's easier for them to be good. There are also people that are rooted in an element of gevura, people that are rooted in like a certain harshness, an abrasiveness naturally found in their personality. So what the Ramak seems to be describing here in Talmud Dvar is the following idea. a person sometimes could come to the conclusion, for ways that I guess are very understandable, that if I'm a chesed person, so my path in life is towards a certain kind of goodness, and if I feel like I'm naturally a bit more abrasive, if I find that I'm a bit of a harsher kind of a personality, so I could assume that I'm just destined for a particular kind of lifestyle. And it's not, I can't control it the same way. It is that negativity which happens to be present. There's the Kayan people. Kayan's rooted in Gvura, and Hevel's rooted in a certain kind of chesed. The mistake understands Tomer Dvora. Kayan knew he was rooted in a certain kind of ra. He knew he was rooted in a certain kind of Gvura. The way that he writes it in the Sefer or Yikar, there's a certain ruach ra which happens to be present with Kayan. Kayan's mistake was he thought that because that's what he was rooted in, that means he's bad. And because that means he's bad, he is limited in what he could ever do. And because he's limited in what he could ever do, so Mimela, he's going to end up just becoming the person that does all the things that he happens to do. The response to Kayan is, no, halo imtetiv se'es. The response to Kayan, or Baruch Shalom says, is, if you do a good job, you could be more successful. You're not bound by an underlying struggle that you have. Adarabba, the struggle that you have could be the source of, if you conquer that and you're successful in that realm, you could be amazing. Don't confuse what you're predestined to do in order for what you actually, you know, could be. The way that they developed this idea in Ishbitz Chassidus by Reb Tzadok at length is that in the machlokas which exists, how does a person know what your ikar tafkid in this world is? How do you know what your tafkid is? So I happen to really identify with a couple of approaches we're not going to mention right now. The Chiddush HaRim, I think, they quote as saying that a person could never actually really know. You know, you try your best, but you can never really, really know. There are different insights that are out there. In the world of Ishbitz and Reb Tzadok, your ikar tafkid in this world is to fix that which you most naturally struggle with. Meaning the ra in me is my pesach towards my real greatness. If I'm an abrasive, harsh personality and I don't like people, so the ikar tikkun that I'm going to be able to provide in this world is going to be if I can build myself, overcome those natural urges to become sweet, kind, welcoming, generous, create an environment of hospitality, that if I'm able to foster that's the ikar tikkun which is really present. The mistake that people make sometimes, says the Tomer Dvora, is the belief that because they struggle with something, that is the bad part of me, and all I can ever do is shine light on the good. So okay, so I have to be good in this, let me just develop that, you know, adasof. But in truth, it's that ikar place of struggle where I could emerge and become someone who's actually able to do an enormous amount. He thinks this may even have like broader implications in a certain sense that I'm trying to see if I can say this out clearly. I think he develops the idea here. Let me see if I can say really quick. Hare, im Kayan shav b'tshuva. This is like deep in the world of like certain kinds of Kabbalistic insights. If Kayan would have done tshuva, you know what would have happened? V'niskan hinei zdon adam harishon shebo holed as Kayan. A lot of Kayan's negativity, a lot of Kayan's ra comes from the fact that he's a product of an adam harishon who contaminated himself, who brought ra to the world. But if Kayan would have been able to fix that part, he hayanechav lozchus besod bra mizaka abba. This would have been the opportunity for Kayan to even have sanctified adam harishon in some level. That a son, the Gemara says, is like an extension of the father. So if Kayan would have been able to fix this, Mida understood that, it could have even elevated and provided a degree of tshuva, even for Adam Harishon himself, in that kind of a way. The main yesod that Tomer Dvor is developing here is that we have the capacity to not just, I have bad parts of me, let me shine light on the good, but to be able to take that bad, be aware of that bad, fix that bad, overcome that, and that's the source of my real greatness. It's the source of where I become excellent. It doesn't require always massive personality. That's like Gemara Masech Shabbos. The Gemara says if you're born in a certain kind of time and you're going to be associated with it, with blood, so the Gemara says I have the choice of how I want that blood to manifest itself in my life. Do I want to be a person that's a murderer? Do I want to be a person that's a shochet? Do I want to be a person that's a moel? That sometimes there's a certain urge, but the way in which you channel it, the way in which you use it, sometimes is the source of the real excellence and real greatness. I remember once when Chaim, my son, was younger. So when he was like, he must have been like 2 or 3, and he was very challenging. when he was like a year or two old. He was very like wild and a little bit hard. I remember once we were at a meal even at someone once, and it was someone that my wife worked with, and they were much older, and she looked at it at one point. It was a Thanksgiving dinner. We were there, and she was like, the two of you have not both sat at the same time in the last like 2 hours. Like someone just up with him, holding him. It was very, very challenging. So I remember thinking about that. You know, it was a little frustrating. So someone said to me, that Moshe Weinberger sometimes says, the Rugachever was a very wild kind of a thinker. Everything about the Rugachever, he was very wild, all over the place, and very whatever. Describe, like, what do you think he was like as a child, the Rugachever? You think at class he was like sitting down, you know, in a very, very calm kind of a way? Somebody who's probably very wild and very all over the place. There were Gadol Yisrael like this. There's one Maisa of a Gadol Yisrael, I think, is the feisty Maisa that thought his Rebbe wasn't that impressive when he was in elementary school. So he once, one day, I think, brought a donkey into the class and said to the Rebbe, like, I think this knows more Torah than you. Like, something along those kinds of lines. Like, wildly. Like, somebody was, I think it was more insulting than that, the way he did it. There are people that, the excellence came when they were able to channel and overcome a natural kind of temptation to become great. That's them as children. Children sometimes are a little bit more over the place. The goal is to be able to use that part and to use a certain kind of midah, but channel it well and be able to elevate it. And when you do, the sanctification is very, very, it's wild. Sha'adam mashrish ba'atzmo sod hara. You take the part of inyu which is not that great and you sweeten it. Umimatko umachniso el hatov. And you bring it to a place of good. L'fichach ha'adam mitaher yetzahara. You can sanctify and purify yetzahara. Umachniso el hatov. And bring it to good. And be rooted into a certain kind of kedusha. Ends the Talmud Dvar here in Perek Dalet. V'zohi mailas ha'tshuva sha'adam yisnaig. But this is what tshuva really is. Tshuva is not a focus that much on sin. Tshuva is the capacity to take those parts of me that are not as ideal and to elevate them. Tzarech shebechol yom v'yom yehaher ba v'yasa tshuva b'tzad ma k'deish yu kol yamav b'tshuva. That tshuva is about the way I develop a relationship with my yetzer hara. Not it's the evil and bad part, but it's a part of me that I'm going to, in my own ability, be able to elevate it. The fourth that I'm very fond of, at least, the Gemara says in the Masechet Kiddushin in the last minute or so, Barasi Yitzhara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, that the Yitzhara is created, and the response to Yitzhara is that Torah is the antidote for Yitzhara. But in fact, the Lashon is, Torah is the spice to the Yitzhara. Yitzhara, Torah is the spice. I spoke about this a couple years ago about spice rubs on meat and the internal, the real Lashon here, but I'll just share, the Kaddish Ramagid had the insight, I think it's very much on target, that the real goal of Torah is to spice the Yitzhara. Yitzhara is what you're given. How I spice it impact if it's ultimately negative or ultimately positive. If you know how to cook with that, if you've watched any of these like cooking shows, if you're into that kind of a thing, and they give you this like food which is not that great, but if you're a real chef, you can take whatever item they give you. It's like you have 40 minutes to make something awesome with like gefilte fish, and you're like, yeah, how am I going to do that? And it's like you're good, you know what to do, and it's about elevating that to make them something which is more special. Make something which is really elevated in a certain sense. That's something which is incredibly powerful. And that's what a lot of this Torah is. I have a Yetzirah, but how do I take Torah as a spice, not to remove my Yetzirah, but to make it better, to make it holier, to use it as something which I've overcome to become as excellent as I possibly can be, and then we're in a significantly better place. Akan, Siamnu, the first four prakim of Tomer Torah. Have a great rest of your day.